I am thrilled to be able to glorify God through what I'm going to say. Sermon. All right. Take my jacket off. No, I'm just... Three men were trying to steal fuel from a New Zealand farm, and they ended up setting fire to their own car. Police said that the trio had siphoned diesel into a gas-driven vehicle, and when their car wouldn't start, they examined the fuel pipe using a cigarette lighter. One click, a boom, and the car burst into flames. It was a major whodunit, Senior Sergeant Ross Gilbert told the small North Island town in New Zealand, about 140 miles northeast of Wellington. Fortunately for them, there's no criminal charge for stupidity. Not as bad as Karen Lee, who is 20. She was arrested in Lake City, Florida, for the robbery of a Howard Johnson motel. She was armed with only an electric chainsaw, which was not plugged in. Fellow went into Burger King at 7:50 a.m. He flashed a gun. He demanded cash. The clerk turned to him and said he couldn't open the cash register without a food order. The man ordered onion rings. The clerk said they weren't available for breakfast, so the man was frustrated and left. My favorite is David Posman, who is 33. He was arrested recently in Providence, Rhode Island, for allegedly knocking out an armored car driver and stealing the closest four bags of money. It turned out that they contained $800 in pennies, weighing 30 pounds each, slowed him to a stagger during his getaway. The police easily jumped him from behind. You know, there are many, many scenarios of stealing, aren't there? So many stories that we know or heard of where people have stolen. And, you know, some of you have probably even watched those shows. But there is another event which is very similar in essence of stupidity. And that's this fella here around Christmas time. Now, do you guys know who this is? No, let me show the whole thing. Who do you think this is? Tell me, who is this? And what does the Grinch steal? Christmas. He steals Christmas! Has he stolen your Christmas yet? Has he? Put your head up, Grinch. Come on. Have you stolen Christmas yet? From a lot of people, he steals Christmas. The story is about the people of Whoville. You just sit right down there. I may need you later. He looks like a lot of you. No, I'm just joking. Stories of the people of Whoville called the Whos. All the Whos love Christmas. But outside of their beloved Whoville lives the Grinch. And the Grinch is a nasty creature that hates Christmas. And he plots to steal it away from the Whos, which equally he abhors them as well. You know, I don't think that it's only the Whos that the Grinch steals Christmas from. There's some people here sitting this morning. The Grinch wants some things from you. The Grinch wants your joy. He wants your joy. I invite you to turn to Zephaniah chapter 3, a very obscure book in the Bible. It's before Haggai. That really helps you out, doesn't it? It's after Nahum, if that gives you any kind of pointer. But Zephaniah chapter 3, it's a great passage of scripture, and you're all going, he's talking about Christmas today? I am. Zephaniah chapter 3, the Grinch wants your joy. He wants to take away your joy. And it's so unfortunate that what is to be the best time of year is often the most intense and stressful time of the year. Anxiety, worry, pressure shines in every mall. Store cashier lines, holiday parties, even Christmas programs. Christmas becomes an intense, stressful season. Along with that, there's the have to and the must do. Well, I have to do this. I must do that. I have to do this. I must do that. I have to do that. We start doing a dance, you know? Well, the prophet Zephaniah wrote during a very intense, stressful, anxious time for God's people. And the closing words of this chapter, they grant the joy that needs to interrupt the schedule of the world. See, Zephaniah understood the need for the joy that only God gives. He knew that the foundational promise of God needs to permeate the heart of every child of God. And I love the words that he used in this text. Look at verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. What a song of joy. In the midst of the turmoil, Zephaniah writes a song, not about what he needs, not words of what he wants, but he writes a song of praise. Words of praise. What kind of song are you writing today? Are they words of, well, I want, I need, I must, I'm upset with? And Zephaniah proclaims again, he says, sing, shout aloud, be glad, rejoice with all your heart. Doesn't that sound like Christmas? We would be really counting our blessings and being thankful. We need the joy back in our living. Be glad in joy. Shout aloud. Have you ever had a time where you've wanted to shout aloud? Anyone? Yeah, you feel like shouting aloud right now, don't you, some of you? Well, I've wanted to shout aloud many times, but one moment, our washing machine just went completely crazy. See, water and I don't mix. That's why I'm a Baptist pastor. But water, you know, I really, washing machine, I don't get along with washing machine. I mean, I throw in a load of clothes, and where they're done, they all come out pink and smaller than when I threw them in. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, Joan and Nathan, they got the flu, so I was washing everything yesterday, and I said to Joan, is this your sweater? You know, like, our machine broke, and Joan asked if I could fix it, and being the skilled person that I am with my hands, our new machine arrived, and it required a different venting system. I mean, we had this plastic apparatus, you know, that you know just clamps on, and so I went to the best place in the world, Canadian Tire, to get, I love that place, I really do, I buy stuff I don't need, tools, you know. So anyway, I went there, and I'm looking, and here's the best venting system. It's metal, it's great, but it's corrugated, so it'll work great. So I get back home, and it comes with this neat attachment, you know, that you just, you know, beware of, let me tell you, beware of, it's easy to install, okay? So I get this machine, and I get this stuff, and I'm putting this thing on the end, and I get it clamped on, and I'm just so excited, because it's just a screw-in thing in the back, and I get on, and I put it out, pew, and it flies out like this. I'm going, wait a minute, I mustn't have enough of the pipe, you know? So I yank some more down, and I put that thing back on, and then, and it, that happened to me 5 times. By the fifth time, my anger level, well, you don't even know about it. That poor venting system just kind of crushed my hands, you know, like this, and started to peel apart. And as that's happening in my hands, I don't know how it happened, but it was just happening, I fell against the dryer, bang, on the top, and dented it. I was doomed. Now what do I do? I didn't see any answer anywhere. Have you ever been in that situation where you didn't see any answer anywhere? Probably a lot of you are there right now. You don't see an answer. You don't have the answer. And all you have to do is believe God has got one. Because God's got an answer. I think, you want to know what happened to the dryer, don't you? Yeah, because that happens. I tell the story and then people go, what happened to, you know? Well, you know, I took a moment and I did what I know best. I phoned Joan at work and I said, I'm sorry. That's the first words out of my mouth. She said, what? I said, I destroyed your dryer. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's no good. It won't run. She said, what? What? Hold, I'm at work. I fell against it. It's trashed. It's complete. You know, and she said, have you prayed? Have you thought about it? Have you sat back and looked at it? You know, I took the top off. It was four screws, bent it back in shape. It's good as new, you know. If you need your dryer, you know, metal fixed, just call Joan. But I think it's time to stop doing something about something you can't do anything about. And start doing what you can do, which is letting the devil know where you stand, and he's not going to steal your joy. You're not going to give up no matter what you do. You're not going to give up. Say, I'm never going to give up my joy. Say, I will not quit. You'll be amazed at what you can do if you just open your mouth and surrender to the very leading of God in your life. Michael DeDuit said, the marvelous thing about the joy of Christmas is that we didn't know we wanted it until it came. My friend, you know that, don't you? He knows it. You're not a mean one anymore, are you, Mr. Grinch? Yeah, he's not. The minute we first beheld God's glory wrapped in swaddling clothes, we knew it was what we always wanted, what we always needed, because it fills us with joy. The presence of God brings joy. Well, the Grinch, he wants your joy. The Grinch also wants your peace. Now, the Grinch had a peace problem. He wasn't content when the Who's were singing. He found no content when they left him alone. It bothered him when there was Christmas stuff all around. You know, there's nothing Satan works harder at than to destroy your peace. He makes us at odds with one another, and Jesus must have known that, because Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. What a gift given to you. Jesus said, I am giving you my peace. Christmas is about peace. Doesn't that sound wonderful? You're all going, wow, peace. I can think of anything that's more paralyzing than what Zephaniah speaks of, the promise of what is to come in Jesus for a people rocked with turbulent times. He says in verse 15 of this passage, the Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. Now, not only does the presence of God bring joy, but as Zephaniah clearly explains, the presence of God removes fear. You see, I think that's necessary for us to understand. God gives us confidence and strength. There's a trust factor involved here. He isn't surprised by anything that we walk through. And that's why we're called to trust God in every situation and stay in peace. The only way to stay in peace is to trust God. You cannot have peace without believing. Joy and peace are found in believing. The Grinch, he steals your peace, and it may be simply your believing that he's stealing. I think there's more fear likely around this season called Christmas than at any other time of the year. I mean, people become worried, they become concerned, they're worried about stuff, they're concerned over things, lamenting over life. But God's presence brings peace. You see, what we need is a good dose of Him, the Christ of Christmas. Let Him interrupt your life. Just as the manger was God's interruption to a needy world, God interrupts the stress of our lives with relief, the darkness with light, the turmoil with peace. But you have to allow the interruption in order to receive the blessing. Oh, God desires to interrupt. God desires that closeness with you. That closeness. Well, the Grinch wants your joy. He wants your peace. The Grinch also wants your heart. He wants your heart. See, the Grinch just didn't have a heart for Christmas. He wants your heart. The enemy walks around seeking whom he will devour. And I mean, you think about the Grinch. The Grinch envied everyone else enjoying Christmas. And so he comes like a thief in the night, and he steals everything from the Whos. Everything. And the next morning, they get up, the Whos get up, and they still sing. They still rejoice. I mean, there's not even a decoration anywhere, and they still enjoy Christmas. They enjoy Christmas because they have joy, they have peace right within their heart, because they know what Christmas really is. It's the heart that God does his best work. Look at this clip.
Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before.
Maybe Christmas.
He thought.
Doesn't come from a star. Maybe Christmas. Perhaps. Means a little bit more.
And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day.
And I'm leaking. Oh, Matt.
I love ya.
You know, that's what happens when God takes residence in your heart. The Grinch wasn't the enemy. The enemy was making the Grinch. You see? I believe the heart is the place where God takes residence. Heart means spirit. It means mind. It means center. It means nucleus. It means focal point. Zephaniah summed this all up by saying in verse 17, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Maybe there are a lot of Grinches here today. Those who are being tormented in some way because you know that the enemy is stealing your joy. He is taking your peace. Slowly he's eroding your heart. Just as the Grinch understood Christmas, so can you today. Let's pray. I'm going to ask Pastor Jeremy to come and start playing. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I believe that God is working inside of hearts right now, tugging at the very strings of your heart, knocking on the door of your heart. You got this kind of this feeling like I really do need to give it all to Christ today. Just as Lavina did. You heard her. You saw her proclaim an amazing message in the water. Maybe you've never surrendered your heart to Christ. Maybe you've never invited him to come and live in you. He's not going to force his way in your life. You'll have to invite him. Well, today is your day to take back what's been stolen from you. Maybe those of you who know God, you've opened the door and you've let him into your life, but you've just walked through the door and enjoyed him as your life. You've never just made that move through. Maybe you need to stop pretending and start really living your life. Maybe you need to say, I need to stop pretending and start living. Quit letting the enemy steal everything from you. Quit letting him make you into a Grinch. Maybe you need to say, I need to surrender my depression to him. I need to surrender my criticism to him. I need to give my tongue of gossip to him. I need to release my pain. I need to not just open that door. I need to walk in, God. Some of you have opened that door, but you've never walked in. You've never enjoyed the life that Christ has for you inside. You've never taken that step. You may be a Christian for years, but you've been a very unhappy, miserable, just getting by each day, unloving, hurtful Christian. Maybe you've been depressed, despair, defeated. It's time to start living today. Walk through the door and start having the relationship that Christ promised you. You cannot start living until you walk through. You can't start really living what Christ has for your life until you step through that door that you may have opened many years ago. Start having that relationship that God wants to have with you. He's longed for this moment. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never opened the door. I'm asking you this morning, do you know Christ? Is he the center of your life? Are you living for him? Are you getting to know him daily in a deeper way? If God is talking to you this morning, and you're one of those who need him to come and just work in your life, maybe you just want to walk through that door, I'm going to invite you to stand up. Because standing, you can walk better. And I'm going to ask you, if you want to stand up, say, God, I can't take this anymore. Don't let anything bother you. Don't let anything keep you from Christ. It's between you and God. But I invite you to stand up where you're seated. Don't let anything stop you. If you're saying, God, I'm going to walk through. I'm going to give you my depression. I'm going to give you my hurt. I'm going to give you my pain. I want the joy back. I want the peace back. Just stand up. Just stand up. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just stand before him. Just stand up. I'm not going to call you forward. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Just stand up. You're not going to be called for. Just stand up. Lord bless you. 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 Just stand. If you're saying, God, I give it all. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. It's for you, God. I give it all to you. I can't take it anymore. I can't take it. I don't have any joy. I'm so concerned about our financial situation, God. Just stand up if you're giving it to him today. Just stand up. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Just stand before him. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. God sees you standing. Lord bless you. God, I give you my relationships. God, I give you my friendships. God, I give you my family. Just stand before him. Stand before him. I give you everything, God. Lord bless you. Maybe you're saying today, God, I don't have the answers and I don't need to. I believe you, God. I just believe you. I believe you. I believe you. I believe you. Just stand before him. Just stand up. If you're saying, God, I believe you. I don't have the answers, but I believe you. Lord bless you. Let's all stand as we pray. Keep your eyes closed, please. I'm going to pray with you for you today. God, you are awesome. You are awesome, Lord. And Father God, we love you. Jesus, we believe in you. We believe you died for us, God. That Lord, you shed your blood. Lord, we believe that you forgive sins. Lord, we are sinners who needed that. And we trust in you. God, we've said many times that we're sorry and we ask forgiveness, God. Even where we've wandered as a church, Lord, forgive us for everything we've done wrong. And Lord, right now we just want to receive you. We want to receive a fresh wind and a fresh fire from you. God, just touch every spirit in this place. Touch us, God. Touch us. We love you. We love you. We love you. We pray, Lord, that you would just restore the joy and the peace back to our heart once again. Because we love you. God, we love you. And may we be walking sermons wherever we go throughout this Christmas season. Lord, we thank you that we can spend this time with our Spiritwood fellowship, Lord, with the Crosswalk Christian Center. God, it's so great. We pray for them. We pray your blessing upon them, God. We thank you for the testimony they are, even to us. And Lord, we just pray that you'll continue to bless us as your church. Lord, as we walk through this Christmas time, may we continue to walk through the door and receive you even more. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. I'll ask the elders to come and prepare the Lord's table.